Happens. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Mike Johnson joins the growing number of Republicans urging the Attorney General to release files on the late pedophile Jeffrey Epstein.
Pam Bondi, I don't know when she originally made the statement. I think she was talking about documents, as I understood it, that were on her desk. I don't know that she was specific about a list or whatever, but she needs to come forward and explain that to everybody.
Johnson on the Benny Johnson Show podcast. A 22-year-old arrested in the murders of an American Idol executive and her husband at their home in L.A., LAPD Lieutenant Guy Golan.
Homicide investigators, with the assistance of LAPD's Gang and Narcotics Division, FBI Fugitive Task Force, took that suspect into custody without incident.
The Pentagon's released half of the 4,000 National Guard troops sent to L.A. to monitor ICE raid protests. Retired Army Colonel Peter Mansour tells KNX.
It's fire season in California, and those National Guard troops are going to be needed elsewhere in the state.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. When Governor Evers signed the new state budget into law, he called it a win for Wisconsin's kids and families. But childcare providers say the support for their industry isn't enough. Parker Olson reports.
The new state budget spends over $360 million to stabilize Wisconsin's childcare system. It was a key demand for Governor Evers in budget negotiations with Republican lawmakers. The state funding comes as federal funding has run out. The pandemic-era relief program Child Care Counts has sent out its final payments. But providers say the state budget still falls short. Outside the state capitol on Friday, they described just how fragile the industry remains.
This week, I experienced one of the most difficult moments since opening. My entire staff has resigned. For 6 months, I've been trying to hire new teachers, but every qualified candidate needed a starting wage of at least $17 per hour, a rate I simply cannot offer without additional funding.
That's Ashley Blackett, owner of Tiny Diney Academy in Durand, Northwest Wisconsin. Advocates say the industry is being squeezed on three sides. Child care is too expensive for families, too costly to run, and pays too little to retain staff. The new two-year state budget directs money in multiple ways. Governor Evers has declared 2025 the year of the kid, and said he wouldn't sign a budget that lacked child care funding. The budget also increases special education reimbursements, though not as much as advocates wanted. Last year, voters approved a record number of school district referenda. That's according to a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum. Corrine Hedrickson, who runs Corrine's Little Explorers in New Glarus, says that kind of pressure could backfire, especially given the way the budget is being sold by the education governor.
And as soon as the schools start raising property taxes, the community no longer trusts the people that they thought they trusted.
Demonstrators also delivered a letter to the governor's office Friday, saying he should call the legislature into a special session for more funding.
I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
Another win from the National League. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the All-Star game, ended after nine innings, all tied up 6-6. So for the first time, instead of extra innings, they had a tiebreaker called a swing-off. Batters getting three chances to hit a home run. Kyle Schwarber of the Phillies got hot, hitting all three out of the park to lead the National League 4-3. It's only the second time in 12 years the NL has beat the American League in the Midsummer Classic. And Brewers pitchers Trevor McGill and rookie Jacob Mizorowski each able to play in the game. McGill retiring the batter he faced, the Miz, 3 out of 4, allowing just one hit. NBA, now that the Bucks have signed center Miles Turner, do they still need to add a shooting guard like Damian Lillard?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I like our team. I really do. I like all the guys that we brought back. Miles mentioned it. Those signings were intentional.
That's the Bucks head coach, Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A few scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, mostly cloudy today with a high in the low 80s. It will be a little muggy. Tonight will drop into the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council. You wanted to be cool, which led you to smoking, which led to a pack a day. Then you met that special someone, which led to starting a life with them, which led to wanting to live longer, which led to quitting. Then you heard you may be at risk for lung cancer, which led you to getting a low-dose CT scan. If you smoked, get scanned. Talk to your doctor and learn more at savedbythescan.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Jay Matt Nair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we are on the road and live from Oshkosh, the EAA Museum. Matt Nair on air and the Todd Albus Show. I hope you can join us.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. It's 8:06. Nice to have you here up north on this Wednesday, July 16th, 2025. Our producer, Parker Olson, is standing by down in Madison, Studio A2. We'll be talking to Earl Ingram in just a sec. We'll have State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remiker joining us later this hour. But first, we finally get to visit with meteorologist Brittany Merlot to talk about a forecast that is, dark and stormy, I guess, is going to be the theme again today, huh?
Yes, it is. And that's going to be spreading throughout the entire state. So yesterday, quite a night up north, right? Flash flooding in Ashland, Webb Lake, Lampson. I mean, 5 inches of rain fell there in Solon Springs. So a good 1 to 3 widespread up there. Now that heavy rain is going to be moving through the rest of the state. I think widespread statewide, expect at least a half an inch. You could get near an inch. And the more storms that you keep getting under, you're going to be closer to 2 to 4 inches. Yeah, a lot of rain. So we've got a flood watch out for Wausau to Green Bay, all the way through the Fox Valley to Oshkosh and over to Wisconsin Rapids. That's where it looks like the heaviest hit of rainfall will hit. So flash flooding, definitely a risk as we go through this afternoon. And also high winds and tornadoes could be with these storms too. So a slight risk for areas from Wisconsin Rapids to Green Bay and everyone south, including Madison, including Milwaukee, everyone else. There is a marginal risk from Wausau to La Crosse, and up north, we're looking at normal storms. You should get a little bit of relief, but still, it's going to bring at least a half an inch to an inch of rainfall. So still flooding risks up north, ongoing. And this low pressure system is going to be swirling through the state today. Upper 50s up north, that's going to be the highs, to upper 80s down south. So a 30 degree spread across the state, you know these storms are going to pack a punch when you have such a big temperature difference. That's what happens. So rain will start spreading in. It already is in northwest Wisconsin and far western areas right now. It's going to be moving in towards central areas, probably around noon or so to 2 o'clock. Madison, north central areas, you'll probably be getting those storms around 2. And then it moves into the Fox Valley, Milwaukee, and into the northeast, Northwoods, probably around 4 to 5 o'clock or so. It should wind down late tonight, around 9 to 10. Overnight, scattered showers and storms will continue, but those shouldn't be strong or severe, so you can go to sleep and not worry about it. And then by tomorrow, it will be clouds clearing, significantly cooler, highs only in the low to mid 70s statewide. It's going to be refreshing.
Very refreshing compared to what we went through yesterday. That was that was searing heat that we had at the time. So
you just start dripping sweat. That's what
yes,
I was doing.
I am not a bit surprised that the storms are a little strong coming in because it's breaking up some serious heat out here. So, Brittany, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Have a great day.
You too.
Tomorrow on the program, we will be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the oops in the state budget, maybe you could call it, where Republicans maybe forgot to fund a homeless program for veterans, and whether a bill to follow up on it will fare better than the amendment Senator Smith and others were circulating during the voting on the state budget to say, guys, you forgot something here. But for now, there's a lot of people anxious and upset about this thing that Governor Evers wanted to continue funding that Republicans cut down to zero. So we'll talk to Senator Smith about that. And Corrine Hendrickson, a child care provider from the New Glarus area, talks to us about the personal impact to her because of what was and what was not in the state budget. So that's all coming up tomorrow. But right now, let's talk to Civic Media's Earl Ingram, who's got a new podcast as well. And we'll talk about some of what's in his latest edition of the podcast in just a moment. But first, Earl, good morning. How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Pat?
I'm doing great, thanks. I wanted to thank you for calling my attention to a new public museum that's going up, going to be called the Nature and Culture Museum downtown to replace the Milwaukee Public Museum. But they had this ceremony yesterday, the topping off ceremony, where it's like a steel beam goes at the very top of the building. All the dignitaries there and the crew, they sign the beam, and then it's lifted by a crane to the very top of the building. And I'm looking at the footage from Channel 12, and it fell out of the hoist as it was being brought up. Now, nobody got hurt. They quickly put it back in the hoist, and they put it in place. But that was some scary-looking video for what hopefully is a great new museum. But that's not exactly the way you plan a ceremony like that, Earl, is it?
Well, the ceremony notwithstanding, Pat, I will tell you that the old museum was 140 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, as a young child going through the museum, it had everything in it. It was one of the top museums in the nation for many years, but 140 years old is pretty old for any building, let alone a museum. And so they decided to build this new one, and the cost of it is a fraction of what you think cost should be for something like this. It's $240 million. Contrast that to the Pfizer Forum, where the Bucks play, which was built about 7-8 years ago for $540 million. And you kind of see they've had to downsize what they'll be able to show. It was a big fight about it, and as I drive past it and see the size of it, it really is probably about a fifth of the size of the old museum. But the architecture of it will set it, along the top architectures of any building in this country. It's going to be, they'll talk about it like they talk about the art museum in downtown Milwaukee. That's how beautiful this design is, and I can't wait to get a chance to get into that museum in 2027.
Yeah, so when they expect that, construction will finish on there for the new Nature and Culture Museum, and I know according to one news report saying, well, why can't they just call it the new Milwaukee Public Museum? Well, you can't, because it's not all public dollars that are going into it. It's a separate 501c3, and they don't want to confuse people. But again, it almost certainly will have the best of the Milwaukee Public Museum. And I guess what some things, if it's smaller, we'll just have to rotate in. And look, if that keeps your museum from getting stale, I'm all for that, because there are some museums that I've certainly seen over the years, and it's like they don't either they seem to hardly ever change, or they change so slowly that, the museum itself becomes a museum relic. So I rather like that they're going to have this new canvas to build on. And I think it's going to be a real boon for Milwaukee.
Well, it looks like it looks like four beehives
mm-hmm.
Together on the outside. So, I mean, it's a very beautiful building.
Yeah, that's going to be really nice right there on North 6th Street, 6th and McKinley, which I wasn't going to mention this, but as soon as I said 6th Street, it reminded me of how the Trump bill that passed is getting rid of a whole bunch of money that was going to help out with that 6th Street corridor. And anybody that has driven downtown Milwaukee, knows the importance of having corridors that are safe and accessible, but also encourage commerce. And look, I'm not saying that it's going to be some kind of a fatal blow to downtown Milwaukee, but That was a nasty and unforced error on the part of Congress getting rid of that 6th Street funding.
Well, it certainly is nothing new, and I think people will say that across this nation, because it's happening all over this nation, and people need to be aware of of what's taking place. It's one thing to see it on television and hear talk about it, but the tentacles are now starting to reach, you know, your neighborhoods and your community, and now you see the impact of what's taking place there.
Yeah, without a doubt. Earl's got a podcast series for us called What's Going On, and the latest edition of it is out. It's part one of a series that's called Is Your Water Safe? And you sat down with lead-free water activist Paul Schwartz. Can you tell us a bit more about what you guys discussed?
Well, I can tell you that Get the Lead Out is going to be a national podcast. We have the top scientists from across the entire world that we are going to be interviewing in an ongoing conversation about people and water and in this nation, educating people on what's taking place. And any building that was built prior to 1975, it's pretty safe to say that the pipes in those buildings contain lead. And so what we're trying to do is educate and make people aware of the inherent dangers of what is taking place in their cities all across this nation. It is not solely an issue in Flint, Michigan, and Milwaukee and other places. It's all over this nation. And the fact that we have a government that refuses to educate people totally on the inherent problems with lead because they don't want to get stuck with the liability of all the damage that has happened. And the fact that they continue to produce lead piping today. And so that's going to be a national podcast that we are going to do many segments. Paul Schwartz is one of the founders of Get the Lead Out, along with Dr. Yana Lambert-Lambertini-Du. And so we're going to have the best scientists, again, across the world in conversations explaining exactly what this is.
And I'm really glad that you again emphasize that this is not just a Milwaukee or Flint problem, because we talked, was it last week or the week before, with Representative Angela Stroud from up in the Ashland-Bayfield Superior region, and helped work out a deal for removing a lot of lead water lines in Superior. And the original Republican proposal was basically going to take the private water utility off the hook and, you know, stick taxpayers, you know, property owners with the entire bill. And goodness knows we're seeing, you know, either hostility or disdain from the legislature toward the Milwaukee project. And so if we've learned anything from what just happened in Superior, it's that you got to be paying attention full time to make sure that, A, they stick to the goal of removing these lead lines, and, B, that the costs are shared equitably.
Well, again, what we're looking to do is educate the entire nation that this is the fact that they're continuing to make lead plumbing, knowing the impacts of lead. And the fact that they continue to mine lead in the face of all the damage that it's doing to human beings is what we want to do. We want to make sure that people get outraged enough to know that their children's futures are at stake. And we have a nation that hasn't been forthright and truthful with the impact of what's happening with lead. And so if nothing else, the whole purpose of Get the Lead Out, the campaign that is we're hoping to go totally national with, is to bring pressure necessary to elected officials who are in a position to get this thing rectified.
Yeah, and again, getting the lead out should be a bipartisan thing. It should not be this hard. To learn more about it, listen to What's Going On with Earl Ingram, a podcast that you can catch over at civicmedia.us/shows, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Earl, thank you so much as always. Hope you have a great day.
You as well.
All right. Thank you. A local break is coming up next for some of you and others. We will visit with Melissa Baldoff, and we will get this week's climate check coming up. Bit of a change of tone from Donald Trump when it comes to FEMA. That and much more still ahead. And then State Democratic Party Chair Devin Remiker when we're all back together in 15 minutes here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Doorman, I need you to check the voicemail today. I'm completely swamped.
Sure thing. Doorman at your service.
Hey, my garage door won't open, or only one side opens. I can't get my car through that.
My garage door motor is running, but the door doesn't move.
Sir, your photo eye sensor is clouded over, or you may have a blocked track.
Thank you, doorman.
Your emergency manual release cord was disconnected.
Those kids.
Children are a delight. We've reconnected it. DoorWorks for the win.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits lately? As in, really looked at them? Veterans who bravely served our country deserve the benefits they've earned and life-saving support when they need it. We know that no one can do this alone, and we're stronger when we work together. The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs stands ready to serve Wisconsin veterans, their families, and their survivors. With our network of partners, like your local county Veterans Service Officer, we can help connect veterans with services such as education, employment, mental health services, veteran ID, long-term care, and more. We stand ready to serve you. For more information, call 1-800-WIS-VETS or visit WISVETS.com. That's WISVETS.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Facing addiction? The Wisconsin Addiction Recovery Helpline offers free, confidential support 24/7. Call 211, text your zip code to 898-211, or chat at 211wisconsin.org. Help is waiting. Sponsored by United Way of Wisconsin.
As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
It's time, everybody, for Meet Your Rafters, one of our favorite things to do in the summer, where we get a chance to hang out with the boys of summer and talk a little baseball, a little Northwoods League baseball. And with us today, we've got Ryan Williams back with us. Ryan, in third time, I think. Isn't it second or third time?
It's been my third time here.
Third time.
Sir.
All right, man. Good to have you here. Good to see you. Appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
And we also want to welcome in Mr. Kenny Schultz.
Kenny Schultz.
I'm sorry about that, Kenny. My computer froze on me for a second. I'm not going to lie to you. Kenny, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you.
Appreciate the time. And, before we dive into getting to know Kenny a little bit more and everything, actually, Ryan, I do want to start with you because we just came off a nice win last night.
Yes, sir.
Were you able to enjoy the win, or were you a little busy? I know as an intern, you got to be running around quite a bit and everything, but you able to enjoy the game at all?
I enjoyed it. Kenny, also being in my shoes, like, he can understand getting there. 8:45 in the morning, but obviously a win is a great for the program. Close games, 7-6 win, about to go in the All-Star break.
It's a nice
gotta
energy to go into
gotta
the All-Star.
It.
That's what
exactly.
I was thinking.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, regardless of what happened, the 10 games, 15 games before, it doesn't matter. You go in with that win, can feel a lot better, especially, being honest like we always are around here, a rougher season, not the season we all want, not the season the players want, you guys want, or anything. So we take wherever wins we can get them, and that's a great momentum builder. That's something that we can look forward to in the second half here as we're in that, and we're in the All-Star break, and we'll get into a little bit of the schedule and where you can expect the All-Star game and take that in and everything, everybody. But nice to see for the team to come out of a win like that. Now, Kenny, for you, your season started, as Ryan was touching on there, as an intern, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Right on. What was your background going into this? I know that I see that you're a Plover native. Is that you're from, born and raised?
Yep.
Right
always.
On.
Always.
Great city, great place. That's really cool to hear, man. So in school, did you play a bunch of different sports, or mainly just baseball? Or
in high school, I played football, basketball, and baseball.
Right on. What was it about baseball that made you want to pursue that?
I think I was always best at baseball, and as I grew up, I just focused more and more on that.
Yeah, yeah. I really wanted to be a singer, but I'm bad at it, so I just went into acting. I hear you. I hear but when it comes to pursuing that dream, which I have all the understanding and admiration for anybody who's chasing down a dream, I don't care what it is. When it came to that, you saw an opportunity here and were able to have an internship with the Rafters, right?
Correct, yes.
So your plans for this season were to, you know, be working in the, as an internship and doing a lot of the jobs that interns do, correct?
Yeah, I didn't exactly know what I was getting into at first, but after the first week of work, I figured that would be my responsibilities all summer. So
yeah, yeah. And then, as my Nana used to say, her favorite phrase, you want to make God laugh, make plans. And he was laughing and enjoying, yeah, enjoying the show, because that is what your plan is. That is what the Rafters' plan is. And then all of a sudden, nope, we're going to need to figure out your jersey size. We're gonna, like, what number do you want to be, kid? Because you show up in the as a pitcher. How did that happen?
So the first few games of the Rafters season didn't go as planned, mm-hmm, yeah, I think. And I thought they could use another arm to fill up the strike zone, so I reached out to Ken, the GM, and he talked with Ziggy, and Ziggy gave me a shot, and the same day I signed, and
that's,
you know,
so
what
cool
happened.
The rest is history.
Yeah, that is so cool. I have to tell you, man, I've never heard of a story like this.
Yeah.
I've never heard of a story like this. I think it's wild. It's awesome. I could not be happier for you. Yeah. I've been cheering your name before I even met you. And last time Ryan was in, we couldn't stop talking about it. It's just such a cool story. But I think, and I don't mean this as any reporting or anything like that, but for me, I don't know if people have covered the coolest part of the story to me. You went and did that. You had that strength, that belief in yourself, and also just working in an organization where you felt comfortable doing that, to talk to the owner about, to talk to the GM, I mean, about that and everything. I think that's really cool. I think that that's great. There's a level of confidence that every person needs to be able to get further in life. I think there's a big difference between ego and confidence. That's confidence. You know, ego, you just expect them to come to you,
right,
you know, just,
right,
oh, something like that or whatever. Confidence is, well, I like this team. I want to help. What can I do to help? And in true intern fashion, you're willing to do anything to help, including being on the mound.
Yes.
That's taking internship quite far, man. That's,
yeah,
that's pretty cool. Congratulations on that. No
Thank
matter what
much.
Happens, that's a real accomplishment. And especially in baseball, where scouting is so, yeah, they're looking at your OPS. They're looking at your batting average, all these things. In baseball, maybe more than any other sport, they're looking at what kind of person you are. They're looking at these kind of things. That can only help you in your career, whatever you do with it. It's only going to help you going forward. So this decision happens. You're able to play. I imagine that this is are you in shape-wise? Are you feeling confident in that regard before you even take the mound? That, okay, I'm still in good shape. I'm ready to go.
I try to prepare not only mentally but to strengthen before every start. There's not too much that I have to think about,
yeah,
going into this.
Yeah, I'm realizing as I was asking it, for one, you're not too far removed from school or anything like,
no,
that. Still in school and stuff. So,
correct,
of course, still. But also, you're young. You're when you're young like you guys, man, and everything, I'm not taking it lightly that you don't train and work your tail off and everything.
Yeah.
But as far as, quote, getting into shape is a lot different for you than it is for me at 48. So
yeah, I mean,
that was the mindset I was going into the question,
yeah,
with. But you're good. You're all right. When it came to mentally, though, that being on the mound and being prepared for that, how did that go? Were you set and ready for that?
My first time, definitely not.
Mm-hmm.
It took a few pitches, I think, in the moment to fully realize what was happening.
Yeah.
Because I did not expect to be pitching the same day that I signed a contract, nor did I think I was going to.
Yeah. Again, you're really stepping up, really, you know, something that the team needed, and showing up and being able to do that. That's great. That's really cool of you. What was it like when you were able to tell your friends, family about that?
It was a great experience. I never thought I would tell anyone that, but everyone was very happy for me and great that I got the opportunity because they knew that I deserve it. So
yeah, yeah, right, right, yeah, definitely. What's it? All this is cool and really great story.
Join James and all his guests on Playmakers every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. on 105.5 WIRI.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. A flood watch has been issued for portions of central and northeast Wisconsin. This includes Marathon, Portage, Washera, Wood, Shawnee, and Waupaca counties. It begins at 1 p.m. this afternoon and continues until 7 p.m. this evening. The National Weather Service of Green Bay alerted to the possibility of flash flooding caused by excessive rainfall. They are predicting 2 to 3 inches of heavy rain this afternoon in a short period of time. Excessive runoff may result in flooding. Remember, turn around, don't drown. A recent study finds a link between the state's weak gun laws and firearm deaths for kids. A study published last month in the Pediatrics edition of the Journal of the American Medical Association looked at gun-related deaths for kids and teens from 2010 to 2023. Researchers compared states based on the strictness of their gun laws. They picked 2010 after a Supreme Court ruling that expanded gun rights in some states. They found that states with weaker gun laws, like Wisconsin, saw an increase in firearm deaths for youth. States with stricter laws saw those deaths stay the same or go down. Categorized as endangered in 2022, monarch butterflies may be getting some help from state lawmakers. Lisa Hale has more.
Monday, Wisconsin State Senator Rachel Cabral-Guevara of Appleton introduced the legislation to make the endangered monarch butterfly the Wisconsin state butterfly. The U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service says since the 1980s, over 95% of the western monarch population has disappeared. They blame habitat loss, climate change, and pesticide use.
If this legislation passes, supporters hope greater awareness and support for the monarch's protection and habitat conservation will follow. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Emmy nominations for this year are in, and if you like to laugh, here are some shows you may or may not have seen that could be worth checking out. The nominees for the Best Comedy Series include Abbott Elementary, The Bear, HBO's Hacks, Netflix's Nobody Wants This, Only Murders in the Building, Apple TV's Shrinking, and The Studio, and the offbeat cool What We Do in the Shadows. Nominees for Actor in a Comedy Series include Adam Brody for Nobody Wants This, The Studio's Seth Rogen, Jason Segel in Shrinking, Martin Short in Only Murders, and Jeremy Allen White for The Bear. Outstanding actress nominees in a comedy series include Ayo Edebiri from The Bear, Jean Smart from Hacks, no surprise there, Kristen Bell from Nobody Wants This, and Quinta Brunson from Abbott Elementary. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
A few scattered showers and thunderstorms are possible later today and tonight, and a couple of those could be strong to severe. Otherwise, mostly cloudy today with a high in the low 80s. It will be a little muggy. Tonight will drop into the 50s. Tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high right around 73. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 71.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.
Smokey the Bear.
Smoke. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful. It's the least that you can do.
Don't play with matches. Don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media sports authority Mike Clemens. And then the legendary and one and only Frank Hermans of Let Me Be Frank Productions performs in the studio. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Tomorrow, we will be talking to State Senator Jeff Smith about the state budget bill, especially the item that was missing from it, the one that would have funded homeless veterans programs here in Chippewa Falls and elsewhere, and whether anything can be done to save this before closures have to take place. We'll also talk to Corrine Hendrickson, a child care provider from New Glarus, on what was in the budget, what was not in the state budget, and the impact it's going to have on her and her future plans. That was the state budget. There was also the federal budget reconciliation bill that passed recently, which is going to do tremendous damage to families and others in Wisconsin. A lot of people would like to tell their Congressman Derek Van Orden about it in Western Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District. We can't seem to rip him away from his Twitter machine long enough, whereas I'm looking at his recent feed. And by the way, the unofficial motto of this show is we read Twitter so that you don't have to. Still just slinging insults at everybody and misleading on the bill. But if folks in the 3rd District would like to sound off about it, there will be a town hall in the La Crosse area this evening. And here to tell us more about it and all of his other new job duties is the new state chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Devin Remiker. Devin, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Pat. Appreciate
And belated congratulations as well on your election at the state convention, succeeding Ben Wickler. What's your take on, I don't think the orientation was that tough given your prior experience with the party.
You know, my pitch was ready on day one, given my 7 years of working at the state party with both Chair Wickler and Chair Lanning. And I think I was ready on day negative 14. I started right after the convention, dove right in to get ready for that July 1 official date. We've been up to a ton. And the first thing on our docket for a big public event is this town hall this evening in La Crosse, holding Derek Van Orden accountable for the awful bill he voted for.
Right. And this is far and away not just a solo affair with the new state party chair. There's going to be a lot of folks who are going to be showing up there who represent the area, and I would argue represent the area better than Congressman Van Orden does, who have been watching the harm that this bill is going to do, and they're going to be talking about that tonight as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, Senator Path and Representative Johnson, I'm also going to be joined by La Crosse County Democratic Party Chair William Garcia to talk a little bit about, you know, the impact from the state. But really what happened and the reason we're holding this town hall is that Derek Van Orden has simply refused to engage with his constituents. I believe he tweeted 75 times over the weekend. He has been burning up the Twitter machine. I saw him tweeting at around 12:30 a.m. Today that he wanted to be placed in Trump's hero garden, whatever that is. And I mean, that's, you know, ultimately what happened here is he voted for a bill that is going to take away health care. It's going to take away SNAP. It could potentially close a hospital in his district. One of the hospitals in his district was on the chopping block from this bill, and he is simply hiding. It's cowardly, and we want to make sure that folks have a chance to tell people how they feel and share the impact that this bill has had and will have on their lives.
The impact on the 3rd Congressional District, I mean, is not small. There's people that think, well, this is just a sliver of the population. We're talking tens of thousands of people in the 3rd Congressional District alone impacted either by Medicaid or by SNAP, nutritional benefits, things like that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we're looking at 30,000 people. I mean, think about that. That is a pretty big city in the state of Wisconsin losing their health care, potentially losing their access to food, potentially, on top of all the other knock-on effects. And I mean, really what we have is this is all being done in service of enriching the already wealthiest people in this country. I mean, really, this is just a gut punch to the working class in this state. And Derek Van Orden not only supported it, but celebrated it. He cheered the loss of health care and food access for the folks in his district. And I think, you know, voters deserve a chance to be able to share how they feel about that, both now and hopefully next year when they vote him out of office.
Well, and on top of all of that was the kerfuffle from, the state budget passing and the congressman being a bit, shall we say, I don't know, either misleading or talking out both sides of his mouth in terms of, supporting something and yet trying to warn Governor Evers at the same time about what was coming, from this bill. What was it that was in this bill that, Derek Van Orden thought he wanted to warn the governor about and yet supported it anyway?
They really started a fire and then offered to help put it out. Derek Van Orden is, I'll cut through it. He's lying. He's lying to his constituents. Ultimately, he sent a letter urging the governor to make some changes and sign the budget that would, help ensure Medicaid access in this state. When he's the one and his party's the one who's put it in danger in the first place, not to mention the fact that Republicans in the state of Wisconsin for years have refused to expand Medicaid and bring our taxpayer dollars back to this state to help more people have health care. And I think that, that sort of I think misleading is a generous term for what to me seems like a pretty knowing lie to the voters in Wisconsin. And I think that he is taking voters for granted. I think they can see through it, and we're going to make sure that they know what the facts are.
Although now to do that is what leads us to events like tonight's in La Crosse and beyond, because, it almost goes without saying that the Republican strategy for 2026 will be to, create distractions, anything, and count on other people to stop talking about the impact of this bill. But I can just say from a radio host standpoint, much less anybody involved in politics, there does not appear to be a shortage of people who want to come forward and talk about the importance of these programs that their tax dollars paid for.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that tonight, we're going to hear the truth, that people are scared of what's coming. We've already heard Medicaid recipients whose caseworkers have called them and told them that their health care may be reduced or cut because of this bill. So although, we're looking forward to the opportunity to be able to tell this story, it's really important to remember that these are real people that are being impacted already. And even if they haven't had the benefit cut, just knowing that that's hanging over your head, knowing that you might have to worry about where you or your family is going to get health care or your next meal from, that's something that no person deserves in this state. And unfortunately, Derek Van Orden and his Republican colleagues in Wisconsin are the ones that have enabled this situation.
Now, is this town hall something that people can still register for at this point? And if so, how do they go about doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can just go to mobilize.us, search in La Crosse, should pop up right away. If you just sign up there, no cost of admission, feel free to come on down. It'll be at the Pump House Performing Arts Center in beautiful downtown La Crosse.
All right. So people can gather there and, again, share their stories and, again, look for some kind of alternative, shall we say, to Derek Van Orden. I mean, there are certainly three candidates involved in the race right now who would like to replace him. And that really says something, doesn't it? That, three people have already come forward to challenge Van Orden in the third district.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that he has really, really, made a mess of his representation of that part of the district. I worked for Congressman Ron Kind for 4 years. And I saw somebody that held listening sessions in every county, in every part of the district, every single year to make sure that he was consistently hearing from folks, incorporating it into how he represented people. And Derek Van Orden is just more interested in playing Washington, D.C. political games and trying to score points on Twitter with Elon Musk and Donald Trump than he is representing the people of Wisconsin.
Now, the Wisconsin Supreme Court recently turned down a request to look at the congressional maps, which is, not to say that that's the complete end of the subject. There's another lawsuit that's out there pending. But I bring it up because, again, we're stuck with the lines that are there. They are certainly gerrymandered compared to what they were, more than a decade earlier. But for folks that have seen Derek Van Orden win two times already, even if we keep these same maps in place, how winnable is the third district for a Democratic candidate?
Well, I think it's incredibly winnable. We even saw that the candidate last year was able to outperform the top of the ticket. And I think that, we, especially in these midterm elections, the electorate is a little different. than we've had in presidential years. And I think it's an electorate that's more favorable to Democratic candidates, especially in the third congressional district. And I mean, I think that this bill counts for a lot. I mean, you know, part of what we are working on at the Democratic Party of Wisconsin through year-round organizing, but also expanding into our 72-county strategy, is going to be making sure that we are really telling the story of how bills like the one Derek Van Orden voted for have impacted people's lives and win back voters who may have lost trust in us, our candidates, and help make sure that we're able to restore some sanity to the state in this country in 2026.
We are talking to new state Democratic Party Chair Devin Remicker about an event taking place in La Crosse tonight, a town hall, about the Trump budget reconciliation bill and the damage it's going to be doing in Wisconsin. And I hate to bring people down further, Devin, but I mean, this was one shoe. It was a budget reconciliation bill, and they're already moving into next year's fiscal 2026 budget bill. It probably won't be done in time by October 1st the way it's supposed to be, but we do know that already the Trump administration and Republicans, they're looking to make even more cuts in next year's fiscal budget bill.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they will stop at nothing to pick the pocket of the working class in this country. And I mean, that's what this is really about. It is about, you know, finding every way to squeeze profit and wealth out of what used to be public goods and public services provided to people and put it in the pockets of billionaires. And I mean, I don't think that they're going to stop. I mean, I just saw yesterday it reported that the Winklevoss twins, who sued Mark Zuckerberg after he, worked with them on Facebook in its early aughts, have invested $1 million to try to essentially prop up a Republican candidate for governor here in this state, Bill Berrien. And, you know, to me, I'm just getting flashbacks of our Supreme Court race early this year when another Silicon Valley billionaire tried to buy an election in the state of Wisconsin. But really, this is about control and power so that they can extract wealth from the working class in this state and across this country. And I think people, just like they did with Elon Musk when we overwhelmingly voted for Susan Crawford and rejected that in April, are going to do the same thing next year.
Devin Remicker, the new state party chair, is our guest. And yes, we mentioned that earlier with the Winklevoss twins being the primary supporter of Bill Berrien at this point. And we talked to Josh Shulman, candidate for governor at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. And he was asked directly by Todd Alba if he needed Donald Trump's endorsement. And he rather skirted past it. And so he did not completely take the Tony Weed view of, you know, tie yourself to Donald Trump as tightly as possible. But I wonder, with the early entries into the governor's race, if you think that Donald Trump's endorsement is going to carry weight or not in this governor's race next year.
I think it absolutely does carry weight. And I think that it's going to be a race to the bottom for these Republican candidates to appease Donald Trump. I mean, you know, Bill Berrien himself is he donated to Nikki Haley in the 2024 presidential primary. So I think he has a lot of making up to do with Donald Trump. But I think that both of them, and along with anyone else who gets in, are going to be competing to show who is most loyal. Not to the state, not to the country, not to the voters, but to Donald Trump. And look, I mean, this is what his agenda is. It's enriching the wealthy at the expense of the working class. And I think that process of trying to win the primary by winning his favor and supporting him with undying loyalty is going to be ultimately what ends up backfiring on the big time next year.
Devin, is there a streaming option for tonight's town hall, or is that just an in-person only affair?
I believe it's in person only.
Okay. All right. I had that question on the text line, so I thank Tiffany in River Falls for putting that in. Devin Remicker, new chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Devin, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it. Good luck tonight.
Thanks for having me on. Really appreciate it, as always. Take care.
All right. You bet. And coming up next is a local update for some of you. Others will stick around, and we'll talk to James Kelly about the stories he's following here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
If time for the Summertime Quiz. Today's contestant is from just south of the Cheese Factory, off the trail near the tavern. Here's Stu Sample. Stu, are you ready?
You betcha.
This object can be found throughout central Wisconsin all summer long. It's private. You can use it for one or two things, and it's a great place to think or read. Name this summer object.
It's one of them porta-potties from Crockett's Septic.
That's right, Stu. You win. Now, go cop a comfortable squat. For clean, reliable, affordable porta-potty this summer, give Crockett's Septic a call. 715-712-3456.
Crockett's Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pumped right there in your yard. They got porta-potties ready for you, too. They'll pump away that stinky, nasty poo. Crockett's Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett's Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett's Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
This fall, there's only one place to be, Camp Randall Stadium. Wisconsin football returns with can't-miss matchups, including Maryland, Iowa, Washington, and more. From the first touchdown to jump around and the celebration of the fifth quarter. Experience the traditions and unforgettable memories that make Wisconsin football so special. Single-game tickets are now on sale. Lock in your spot today by visiting uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. Wisconsin football game day starts here. We'll see you at Camp Randall.
I'm the threat that's already inside the house. In the closet, under the bed, in the car. But I don't want your money or your TV. I can't be scared away or negotiated with. I'm patient and quiet. I don't sleep. You can't call the cops on me. You can't even see me. I'm the threat of family fire. And as long as your guns aren't stored securely, I'll be there. Protect your family. Secure all your guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. That's endfamilyfire.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This message is for Karina, our mom who finished her high school diploma at age 28. Hi, Mom. It's Amethyst and Nicholas.
Congratulations on getting your diploma.
You worked so hard and have taught us so much.
We love you.
When you graduate, they graduate. Finish your high school diploma for you and for them. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free and supportive adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. And now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic. For this July 14th, 2025, have your host, James, with you. We're joined right now by a couple of our favorite people. We have Sally Kistner with us and Eric Brittenacher. Good to see you, too.
Hi. Good to see you.
We're talking with our Arts Council of Southwood County right now. We're welcoming in on the phone lines here the members of the Yacht Rock Gold Experience. We've got Joe and Amadeo with us. I will let you guys introduce yourselves so the audience can put a voice to the name. Joe, you can start.
This is Joe Burak. I'm the leader and drummer of the Yacht Rock Gold Experience.
And this is Amadeo Simonisi, and I'm the bassist for Yacht Rock Gold Experience.
I see everybody in radio. If you're not confident to say somebody's name, that's one of the ways you handle it. In all seriousness, we want the audience to be able to put a voice to the name and everything. Joe, Amadeo, thank you so much for joining us. Eric and Sally, I'll get to you guys in just a moment, but I'm really excited to talk with these guys. If you don't mind, before we get going too deep into the band and what the experience will be, can you guys tell us a little bit about yourselves? Joe, where are you from?
I originally born in Brooklyn, New York, and raised in New Jersey, right next door. Alumni of the Berklee College of Music in Boston, and now touring the United States with the Yacht Rock Gold Experience.
Right on. That's awesome, Joe. Thank you. And I have to, the accent, it did show a little bit. It does show a little bit there. But. Amadeo, how about you?
Yeah, I was raised in Rutherford, New Jersey, and I reside in Nutley, New Jersey. And, you know, I went to college at Montclair State. At that time, it was called Montclair State College, now Montclair State University, for music education. And I taught in the New Jersey public schools for 37 years, recently retired. But I've been playing all that time and had the great opportunity to meet up with Joe. It was kind of a happenstance thing, and we've been connected for, what, 10 years, Joe?
Oh, probably longer. But don't forget to mention that you toured with Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, as well as many other groups.
Of course, yeah. I mean, as a freelancer, just always working that way, and I did play with Southside Johnny for a little while, for sure. That was a lot of fun.
Guys, I imagine, like a lot of the musicians we get a chance to talk to, you have plenty of music tastes and things that you like to listen to and play. What was it about yacht rock that made you want to play this specific type of rock and roll?
You know, I think the entire band kind of grew up on that music. And a lot of the guys in the group are full-time musicians that play a lot of R&B, soul, and jazz music for many events through a group that we all belong to as well called Epic Soul. And as we saw the yacht rock music start to really swell up and become the big thing, we attended a few concerts of other groups, and we just saw the swell of people coming with their captain's hats on and this whole new kind of groovy thing that was starting to grow with this music that we all grew up on in the 70s, the Eagles, the Fleetwood Mac, the Steely Dan, the Doobie Brothers, all that kind of stuff. And we all said to ourselves, hey, you know, we could do this thing, you know. And I have, you know, all these incredible musicians that are music majors and music teachers and everything that play, you know, on the side of their regular job. And we started to, you know, slowly put this thing together, and we added like four amazing vocalists that we knew. And before we knew it, there was just bookings like crazy for us all over the place. And the next thing we knew, we were touring nationally. It just kind of blew up really, you know, they put a documentary out and everything just kind of blew up. And you got these guys now, we just got back from three dates in Florida. And we're getting ready to hit the road again, you know, after this interview. So it's just been a whirlwind of excitement for us.
Can't get you on the road fast enough. When it comes to like the terminology of yacht rock, I think, Sally and Eric and I were talking a little bit about this in the pregame. I grew up on a lot of this music too, the Doobie Brothers, Steely Dan, and those are two of them. I love Steely Dan. I know every single song by them. I could go on a tangent on Steely Dan right now, but I never thought about them as a kid as yacht rock. There wasn't a terminology yacht rock. This is something that has kind of almost come up through a more of a pop culture thing. And it's kind of cool to see when these things happen. And we have all seen trends come back, fashions come back, different things. For this particular style of music to make this kind of push forward again is really unique and a lot of fun. I think it's great for younger audiences to discover some of this music while some of us are kind of getting to relive some of it.
Yeah, we lots of times we see in the audience some very young members, and it's really kind of cool to see that gap being bridged, because as musicians, we know that this music that is loosely defined as yacht rock, right, is more complex in nature than it would appear to be. So as musicians, that's one of the things that attracted us to it. Because we didn't get a chance to play much of it growing up. We were playing the typical rock and roll stuff that everybody was listening to. So we jumped at the chance to do this because it allowed us to really sink our teeth in. And watching the younger audience members groove on this music is great.
That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about that until talking with you guys about this, but the bands that we're talking about, throw in Fleetwood Mac in that group, and Christopher Cross, Fleetwood Mac, Steely Dan, all these bands, these are not simple bands with like simple band members with one pop hit or something like that. These are eclectic musicians that really know their stuff we're talking about here. And all these songs, you guys are doing the best of their stuff, the hits of their things. So by proxy, you guys are darn good. Like, and I've looked up your stuff. I've seen a bunch of it and everything. You do amazing jobs with these. Is there an honor along with a challenge to doing this, doing artists like that?
Well, we've been working with Elliot Laurie from Looking Glass, who is, as they coined the phrase, yacht rock royalty. And I think what he said to us was that what he loved about us was that we keep true to the music. And I think what he meant by that was that we really work hard on trying to give the audience that version that everyone is used to hearing on the radio for that particular hit song. And there's all these, iconic little lines in there that you have to get. These people that come to the shows know every word to every song. They know every little saxophone lick and every synthesizer string and every little thing that's supposed to be there. So when you really break it down, these very overproduced, Steely Dan stuff and all
you
the Eagles stuff.
You were listening to the Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE, Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. House Speaker Johnson adds his name to the growing list of Republicans urging the Attorney General to release the Jeffrey Epstein files. Pam Bondi tells CBS News she will not bow to calls for her resignation.
I'm going to be here for as long as the president wants me here, and I believe he's made that crystal clear. It's 4 years. Well, 3.5 now, right? We've got 6 months in.
Vice President Vance, the tiebreaker, as Senate Republicans advance a bill to claw back $9 billion in federal funding for foreign aid and public broadcasting. South Dakota's John Thune.
Clearly, this is something that all of us believe is a priority. When you've got a $36 trillion debt, we have to do something to get spending under control.
This will be the first full day of testimony in the murder trial of a Colorado dentist accused of poisoning his wife's protein shakes. CBS's Natalie Morales.
Jim Craig had told his business partner and friend he ordered the cyanide for his wife, but he didn't think that she would actually take it.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.